Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
About. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys! Guys!
Fellas. Think we could listen to the radio or something?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, do you have a question about babes, about buffets, about love? Please call me, etc. and etc. I'm your man. My name's Dodo, and I'll fight for your rights to party. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you!
You are making me so bummed for your life right now.
I cannot endorse that message, but I do acknowledge it.
Now, will we have some sort of creative control over the music?
I don't give a shit, son. I still get paid. Let me show you what we got.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's rock and roll, can I say?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you serious?
And now.
There are two kinds of people in this world. And you ain't one of them.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 9th of November.
Yeah, it is.
What's up?
Indeed it is.
Right?
Sure the hell is.
It can't be more.
It's so 9th of November. By the way, I should have read this by you guys off the air, but the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald is on a weekend this year. It's tomorrow, November 10th, 1975.
Yeah.
So
why are we looking forward to it?
Well, what I'm saying is, why don't we all come in? Let's all come in and put on a Saturday show.
Okay. What time?
Yeah.
Well, usual time.
Same time?
We'll come on at 5:30 like we do.
Do we have enough time then? I mean, don't we want more time to just really go through it?
A lot, like a bigger chunk.
So maybe like four. Let's do it at 4 a.m.
Okay.
I mean, I'll come in that early. Okay.
4 to noon.
So 8 full hours of Edmund Fitzgerald tributes.
I mean, I think it deserves it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll interview, some of the people who are experts on the matter and and just really kind of get deep into it.
Family members?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Family members. Get Gordon Lightfoot on, have him talk about his song. So we're all in then.
Yes.
Absolutely.
4 a.m. Make sure. This is binding. Tomorrow at 4 a.m.
Yes.
We all show up and we do a specific Edmund Fitzgerald related program.
Looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
Okay. Don't be late.
No. I might just stay here.
I'm setting my alarm now, just so it's done.
All right. Just want to make sure we're all on the same
page. We're good. We're all good.
Okay. Now, question. What?
Words. Strange way of.
Verbs.
It ordering.
What do you do? We live in a very divided time for a lot of reasons, especially, I don't know, the people, there's so much homophobia and there's misogyny and there's racism and there's sexism. What do you do if you find out that somebody at work is one of those people who has those feelings about a certain group? What's your responsibility if you are working with somebody who's a bad, bad person like that?
Wow, I don't know, because for the most part, you're not their boss.
Mm-hmm. So, it doesn't really affect you at work, except for the fact that you're working next to somebody who you find abhorrent. How should you handle that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe go to the management and say, hey, just heads up.
This person
in
doesn't
In case it
think,
affects work.
And I think we're in a pretty, I hate to say the word privileged place of saying, oh, well, that stinks, but it doesn't really affect me. I'm not black. I'm not gay. I'm a woman, so I have that.
Right.
I can at least be bummed about that. But
right.
It, If I was a black man, black woman, and the guy I'm working close to is racist against black people, that's not going to be very comfortable.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I wouldn't think so either. Well, this is why I don't know how to handle working with Allie now, who I've considered a friend for a long time. Because I find out that, she looks at a guy who says he identifies as 49 and she doesn't accept that.
This guy.
She doesn't accept that. Why can't he be 49 if he wants to be 49?
Now, is this racist?
No, it's not racist. It's ageist. Is what it is.
Ageist.
It's not only that. It's her denying who he is on the inside, because all she can see on the outside is that he's not 49, that he's 20 years older than that.
This D-bag is making a mockery out of real issues, and I hate him.
There it was right there.
I told you.
She is a hater. His name is Emil or Emily, I'm not sure, Rattelband. He is Dutch, and he has gone to court, Kevin, to start a battle to make himself legally 20 years younger than he is on the grounds that he is being discriminated against on a dating app. Now, listen.
I want him in a grave.
Wow.
Look, because he goes on the dating app and he says he's 69, and the ladies are like, no, I'm looking for somebody much younger than that. But if he's 49, boom, now they're interested. That's unfair to him.
My point is that even if he gets his age changed, and I don't know if you can do that, he's still 69.
Yeah, no, I usually swipe right for 69, but in this case, this guy, I can't.
You love him. Yeah. You love him.
You would love him if you would accept him the way he really is, instead of putting your preconceived notions of what his birth date means.
He's the worst.
Pretty judgmental.
I'm
with you, B. Now I don't know what to do.
It's very uncomfortable, isn't it? Here's a little bit of a report on it.
The Guardian reports a 69-year-old man in the Netherlands is seeking to legally cut 20 years off his age so he can get jobs and Tinder dates. According to Business Insider, he's filed a lawsuit against a local government office that denied his age change request. In it, he asserts that he identifies as 49 and should be allowed to live accordingly. Mm-hmm. The man further notes that his doctor told him he has the body of a 45-year-old.
Okay, what about that, Allie? Are you just swiping aside, no pun intended, medical advice? His doctor says he's got the body of a 45-year-old. He's willing to be 49. Not good enough for you?
No, because we all know that doctors have a way of saying a lot of things that aren't true.
It's the healthiest person who's ever been president.
Right?
How dare you?
Exactly.
He reportedly equated his situation with that of transgender individuals, telling a Dutch publication, "You can change your name, you can change your gender, why not your age? Nowhere are you so discriminated against as with your age."
Especially by Allie McKay on this show, by the way.
Nowhere are you as discriminated against as with by your age. This guy to hell. I'm not only in a grave, I want you alive and in a grave. And then I'm just throwing dirt.
But rocks first, right?
Rocks, boulders, whatever.
And then dirt.
According to the Telegraph, the court has expressed concern about the ramifications of officially deleting 20 years of a person's life.
Look, he says he's even willing to give up his pension because he's only 49 now. He's got years until he reaches that age of retirement. So I don't know. I think I got to go with this guy. If he feels 49, he's 49 as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, that's absurd. That's crazy.
I mean, do what everyone else does on dating apps.
Why?
Change your age. Right. Move on.
Use a picture from 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
All good.
Absolutely.
That's what everybody does.
That does seem cheaper than going to court, doesn't it?
It does.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Who's a good doggy? You are. Yes, you are.
Okay. I don't know if you remember, 6 months, a year ago, I can't remember, Omar and Muggs decided to start a team to go out and be the DJ in the entertainment.
Yes.
At bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. This is like, they're called the Mitzvah Brothers.
Sure.
Okay.
And I think they brought it up like a year ago. Tomorrow's their first one.
Their first gig.
Yes.
But wait. I get DJ Omar Khan doing the music. Mm-hmm. What is Muggs doing as the entertainment?
Well, there's a lot of Jewish traditions and stuff like that that they do.
Yeah.
And Muggs knows about those and Omar doesn't.
Yeah, think of him
He'll
as
be a hype man.
The Jewish hype man.
Yeah. Will he bring Muggos with him? Because I
sure
hope so.
Yeah,
that would be a big hit.
Can't imagine they would let him leave without doing that.
Right, that's his hit.
Right? Also on the program, we're going to talk to Russ Leatherman. There are three movies coming out today that we're interested in. Overlord, The Grinch, and The Girl in the Spider's Web.
Yes.
Okay.
Brand new internet roundup. We have, for some reason, people want braces.
I do.
Adults.
Yeah.
I do. I want them badly.
Why?
Well, we'll discuss because some lucky some bitch who works on this show, it looks like he's going to be getting braces, and the rest of us are going to be full-time jelly.
You have killed Kevin's will to live.
What am I doing with my life?
His head is down. He can't even look up. He's done.
It was a dagger to the heart. Oh, my God. We killed Kenny.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
That means it's time for a first look at what's happening here on this Friday.
Day. Bean, we can't.
We can't do it.
We can't do it.
Okay.
Okay.
We just can't.
All right. Kevin needs to Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, just because it makes it better. Why would you want to make the weekend even better?
It doesn't really make it better, though. It's just you saying the word.
How dare
having
you?
A great weekend is having a great weekend. Mm-hmm. You don't need to call it Friday because you're having a great weekend.
Yeah.
If you're not having a great weekend, then your whole celebration is saying the word Friday.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Here's Allie with more.
Sit on the throne of lies. Who's with me?
Right.
You guys, you're up early. I want to give you something. How would you like to see Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald 2 days before it comes out? Oh, yeah.
Yay!
It hits theaters November 16th, but if you would like to see that movie with a pair of passes to K-Rock's advanced screening, it's happening at Arclight Hollywood on November 14th. Let's take the first five callers right now, and you are going to get the pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald at Arclight Hollywood, November 14th, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers, and good luck to you. Speaking of that movie.
Call now.
And its author, J.K. Rowling, she is suing her former assistant for $31,000 for allegedly using her money to go on shopping sprees. Amanda Donaldson worked for her between 2014 and 2017 before being fired for gross misconduct. She, of course, denies all allegations, but the suit claims that she used Rowling's credit card for makeup, fancy coffees, fancier cats, and perfume. Wait. Could cats be fancier than fancy coffees?
She's buying cats on a credit card?
Apparently so.
That's weird.
That apparently weird. So. I don't know why that delighted
where's the,
me.
Where's the cat store?
Where's the fancier cat store? And how are they judging how much fancier it is than a fancy coffee?
It's a good question. Yeah.
Is a cat like wearing diamonds and it has its nails painted? Like, I am a fancy cat. It's just weird.
Did you think the same thing I thought when you saw this story, Allie, that she worked for her for 3 years and only grifted $31,000?
I totally did, and we're rotten people because of that. But I thought to myself, J.K. Rowling makes millions upon millions, like by the minute, I think.
Oh,
so
yeah.
To keep track of that money, first of all, she's got to have someone incredible keeping track of that money.
Right.
But to only see that she took $31,000, I mean,
this
is better.
You guys are sad.
I'm just
you guys are
that
fine
she,
with this.
No, not at all. It's she just shocking that someone was paying attention and saw that amount and was concerned about it.
Yeah, it would be, Kevin, like you realizing you dropped 2 cents somewhere.
Right.
You know, like you would never notice an amount that small. And I mean, look, it's awful and she should be fired as she was and she should be prosecuted. Absolutely. But
yeah.
I was surprised that they were able to catch it.
I think they should take away her fancier cats.
I agree.
It's all insane. You guys, American Airlines has announced that passengers with nut allergies will be invited to board early in order to wipe down their seats, avoid possible exposure to allergens. That policy is set to take effect on December 12th with the updating of flight service manuals. They don't serve peanuts on their flights, but they want to make sure that anybody that has nut allergies could come on, wipe it down like somebody could have brought nuts on from the previous flight, that type of thing. Here's the number. Roughly 15 million Americans suffer from food allergies. And I don't know. I feel like that number is going to shoot up on anyone flying American Airlines.
Because you can board early?
After December 12th. Right?
Yes.
We cannot be trusted to do things correctly and not try and feel entitled and honestly, to things. Right. Yes.
Allie, help me out here.
Sure.
And I don't want to get the wrath of the people who have legitimate life-threatening nut allergies.
Of the nut people?
Right, the nut people, as Kevin likes to call them. I feel like nut allergies didn't exist until 10 years ago. I feel like I never heard about them my entire life. Every airplane served nuts. Nobody ever had a nut allergy and died. And now it seems like every third person is going to die if they get exposed to a peanut. What? Am I wrong? Or is it way more prevalent now than it used to be?
Or are we just hearing about it more because there's more access to that type of news?
But wouldn't it have been big, big news 20 years ago if somebody had died from getting exposure to a peanut butter sandwich by accident in a lunchroom? And you never, ever heard a story like that.
I feel like you might be onto something, but there are also, you know, varying degrees. There are people that they get any sense of a nut being in a room and they actually could die.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is. I mean, I'm not arguing it's not legitimate. I'm
right.
just trying to figure
but
out why
it so has many become, more.
Yeah, why so many more now? You said 15 million. I bet 20 years ago there were 1,000, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is, it says suffer from food allergies, so I don't know if that's just, okay. they're putting in, you know, people allergic to milk, people allergic to different things. Shellfish.
There was that awful story a couple of years ago in Canada, remember, where a guy kissed his girlfriend
yes.
at school, and he had peanut sometime within the previous 24 hours, and she did die from
yes.
it. So again, I'm not minimizing the fact that it is real for some people.
Right.
I just can't believe it's real for so many people.
I think what you're saying is raise stronger kids, right, parents? Is that what you're saying, Bean? That's what I'm picking
That's
up.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, don't be allergic to nuts. It's dumb.
Right?
Bean loves
nuts.
It's a great tip.
And then the rest of us don't get nuts on our plane. I hate that.
Oh, that's what this is about.
That's what it all comes down to, right? Remember which one? I think it was Southwest. They used to have like the candied nuts. They were nuts, but they had like a like something on them that made them taste like candy. What was
yeah,
it?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, those were
good.
Those were good.
Those were real good.
Way to go, nut allergy people. Now I can't have those.
I don't think that's
or even remember what they were to buy them on my own.
Same.
You've ruined everything.
Okay.
That's what we're saying, Bean, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay.
Back to you.
Some birthdays for you. Hey, Cisco. You know him. He's the thong to thong thong thong.
Let me see that thong.
That's a lot of Cisco.
Yeah.
I don't know we need that
You
much
don't need that
Cisco.
Much?
One of the most important songs of our lifetime, you guys.
Agreed. I did a deep dive into that song. It was 1,000-page... What was it that Bean said that one
10,000 page.
10,000 page.
No, 10,000 word. Sorry.
10,000 word deep dive. Mm-hmm. What was that song that you got into, Bean?
I have no idea what you're referring to.
You said at one point, you guys, I'm in the middle of a 10,000 word article about...
And then it was some random song that we hadn't thought about in decades.
Yeah, I'll try to remember. Okay. I do recall that conversation.
Was it Cisco?
It was not the thong song.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay, weird. All right. Also, happy birthday to French Montana and Finn Cole from Animal Kingdom. Well, more importantly, Peaky Blinders. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
So, Ruben, who works with us on the morning show, yesterday...
Hey, Ruben.
Good morning, Bean.
Yesterday, the meeting said, hey, guys, I might be getting braces. And I was very shocked by the number of people who were like, oh, you're so lucky.
Luck out.
What? Total luck out. Total luck out.
I was amazed, too. I thought they were going to make fun of me a little bit more, Bean.
Oh, Kevin will.
I will, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it.
Ruben, by the way, for folks who haven't heard, he's the one who's, if Beer Mug doesn't answer your call, it's generally Ruben, and he does some other stuff. And
so it's Ruben 90% of the time.
Right, exactly. Because Mugs, for some reason, is always in the bathroom.
We don't even know where he is.
But Ruben, what's going on with your teeth? I mean, I assume the obvious is that even though you are an adult, you need a little bit of straightening.
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate as a kid. My teeth weren't as janky, and you know, as I grew older, they just kind of moved around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm at a point in my life where I think, you know, I deserve to have a nice looking grill.
All right, okay. Sure, yeah.
So after hearing, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bean.
No. I was just for clarification. So you went to the dentist, and he suggested this to you, that this would improve your smile?
Yes, it's been suggested to me a few times. I've gone in for random checkups and, you know, cavity fills and things like that.
You're like, hey, dude, leave me alone.
Cool it.
Stop telling me I need braces. Yeah. Bumming me out.
And most recently, like, I've been noticing it was a lot of food getting stuck in my teeth. Mm. So I'd like to get rid of that as well.
Now, why did Allie say, oh, luck out? And why did Bean say, oh, I want that so... Why?
We've talked about this. I always wanted braces as a kid.
As a kid.
Like, to the point where I would wear tinfoil on my teeth. It was insane. I get it. But I just...
That's not crazy at all.
No, it's not nuts at all. I was fascinated. But I asked him, would you get Invisalign? Because that's something I'm looking into, because I have crowding on a couple teeth on the bottom that I've never had.
Okay.
So I'm looking into Invisalign, and you said, absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't think I have the discipline to follow through with what Invisalign comes with, mm-hmm. because you'd have to keep them in all day and then take them out to eat and then immediately floss and brush right after.
Right.
And that's just...
That's not going to happen.
Why would you want Invisalign when you could have beautiful silver metal in your mouth?
Hold on. Bean, why would you want beautiful silver metal in your mouth?
I just think they look awesome. And by the way, I don't know if it was recently stoked more so by the Kevin and Bean billboard that I'm sure Ali Siegel drew, but I got to tell you, that's the best we've ever looked, is when we had our braces on that billboard. And now I feel walking around like a man without braces. I feel like I'm just a shell of what I should be compared to that picture.
Maybe I look at it differently because I had braces, and it sucks.
Braces too. I had braces too as a, you know, 11, 12, 13 year old, something like lucky. That, yeah.
First and of all, not lucky. Second of all, it blows. Why would you want it again?
I have a friend who is, and by friend, I mean waitress at Denny's, who got adult braces. She's around 30 or something like that. And the first time I saw her with her braces, I was like, she is 1,000% more attractive right now.
Oh, no.
With the braces. She really is.
Yes.
I don't know. I think there's something hot about it.
Okay, think it'd be hot on Ruben?
That's weird.
You think there's hot about it?
I do. Yes. I don't know what it is. Look, you can't explain why you like certain things. I just think they look neat, and they look like they'd be fun to have.
But do you not remember having them?
No, I don't.
Because I do remember having them, and they suck. Your teeth are sore, and they have to tighten them, and it's just a nightmare.
I feel like they've come a long way since you guys had them.
Possible.
Like, they've come a long way in the last 10 years. Would you get the actual braces? Would you get clear ones? What would you do?
That's something I'm still debating about. I'm still thinking about it. I don't know. I like the look of the classic, you know.
Old school,
bracket on the tooth with the wire coming across. I don't know.
I tell you what I don't want, and I think we can all agree, no one wants or needs headgear. I know that. You don't want to be the kid with the headgear.
That's what I'm afraid of. Maybe
I want Ruben to be the guy with the headgear, though, right?
No.
Yes.
Who's with me?
Oh.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. 323-520-AFRO. That's our number 24/7. It's our voicemail here at the show. You call us anytime and tell us what's on your mind.
We talked to a 34 or 35-year-old. How old was Halloween Janet?
I think she was 35.
Doesn't have kids.
Uh-huh.
Dresses up, goes trick-or-treating, says it's fine. Takes the candy at the end of the night, throws it away because she doesn't like candy.
It was insane.
One of the weirdest people we've ever talked to.
Kevin and Bean, I'm in love with Janet. Hook me up with her. Diving, 38. Thank you. Peace.
There was something kind of fun about her. She was wacky, definitely, but she...
Straight crazy.
Yeah, straight crazy.
And I love her,
she
too.
Might be fun. Yeah.
Bean was talking about changing his name not too long ago.
So I'm listening to the podcast where Bean's discussing changing his name, and I have to vote for Harry Stack because that's the best one that I heard. And... I actually grew up living down the street from a boy named Billy Balls. And you know what his dad's name was? Harry. Go Bean! Harry Sack! Woo!
It's the first time that's ever been chanted.
I'm going to have to think about it. I'm not ready to commit to Harry Sack right now, but thank you.
The Zero Club is still alive.
Hey, guys. This is Junior from Rolling Heights. I'm over here driving, and I'm, like, super excited because I'm going to be in the Zero Club, and instead, my car just keeps saying fuel level low. What the hell, Chevy? Where's my miles? I want to be in the Zero Club.
Yeah, he's right. It's a lot more fun if there's a countdown where you see you have 9 miles left, 3 miles left, and then when you hit zero, oh, that's like winning the World Series.
Beat, I'm going to need your participation in this next one.
All right.
I was working at the lab late one night.
It's anarchy. You were right, Kevin.
Right? We talked about this, what, a week ago?
Basically. Uh-huh.
Just for, I don't know, 8 to 10 years, one of us would start gargling. The other had to sing the Monster Mash. It was unspoken. It was understood that the person who was gargling would do that until the lyrics were done. So the other person would just start singing the Monster Mash.
So weird.
It's super weird.
And then, dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for bringing it back.
Okay, I was working in the lab. All right. Now it's anarchy.
It is.
Your turn.
I was working in the lab late one night. My eyes beheld an eerie sight. Okay.
I am a loyal podcast listener from the Bay Area, and I just heard Allie refer to San Jose as Sanho. Allie, that's straight up G, yo. That's actually what we call it out here. You're hella representing the 408. Whoop, whoop. Go show.
Wow. Did you bleep sharks?
Of course.
Kevin.
I can't let that go on this radio station.
But he's
Chip's all right with that.
He's from San Ho.
San Ho. That's right. He's got terrible taste in hockey teams, though. Here's another podcast listener. By the way, thank you to everybody who gets the show with the podcast and listens to it later.
Hi there. I'm a podcast listener. I am way behind, but I just heard that thing about how you misused the wrong product. Back when I was like 15-ish, I used Icy Hot as toothpaste. I'd never heard of Icy Hot. And then afterwards, when I was all done, I went to yell at my parents and my mom and say, why would you buy like the worst toothpaste ever? And both my parents just pointed basically and laughed at me. That was like hilarious. And just sent me on my way.
Your parents were right. It is hilarious.
We did Jank Tank yesterday, which where Omar highlights some new products that we might want to invest in. And one was a travel jumpsuit that seemed pretty cool, but this guy latched onto one part of it.
Hey, party people, you guys are talking about the travel jumpsuit, and how did you guys gloss over the fact that he said after 10 years, the solution is finally here for that rear exit bullshit? Who the f*** is working on a travel jumpsuit for 10 years trying to figure out how to take unreal? I'm out.
All right, for that reason, I'm a no.
I was working in the lab late one night. My eyes beheld
an eerie sight. It's going to be a long rest of the year.
You know what you know what happened, B, is they started talking about it on the B Team podcast.
Oh, no.
And
that's
they said,
it.
Call it gargle.
That podcast has got to be pulled.
Right? Jonah Hill was on a morning show radio in New York, and he had this to
Breakfast
say.
Club.
All right.
We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Jonah Hill.
This is my favorite show.
Okay.
So I probably said that to all the shows.
No, you just said that when I walked in. I already told you that wasn't true. I don't say that to all the shows. I don't go on like Kevin and Bean. I'm like, yo, this is my favorite show. Like,
hey, guys, can I just say I'm super hyped for your show? Like, you guys are my favorite morning show. And I don't just say that. I never say that. You don't hear me go on Kevin and Bean and say that. Wait. What number is this again?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to remind everybody to vote today. Yep. Look, I'm getting up early.
What?
I'm in line already. Yep. There's a guy ahead of me. Looks a lot like Mole, but I'm not worried about that. Vote early and often.
We have bad news for you, sir. You missed it.
That was yesterday.
I just pooped like the Millennium Falcon.
What did I say?
Yesterday.
You said yesterday for some reason?
That was Thursday, but voting was Tuesday for sure.
Right, Tuesday. Right, like it always is.
I just pooped like the Millennium Falcon. And I don't mean like a huge, big one. Like it's probably 1/12 scale. But then I flushed, and then I look at my poop like you do. And I saw it. And as it flushed away, I went, no. And then I laughed because I thought of Chewy. Oh, man. Wish you could have seen it.
We're good. We're good. Thank you.
I wish we hadn't heard about it.
Look, Friends and Helpers is a great organization. Oh. Kevin just said he's the spokesperson for it. Can you think of a worse person to speak your word than Kevin?
Huh. He is the Sarah Huckabee Sanders of Friends and Helpers. That's true.
How dare you, sir?
Hey, I missed the announcement for the Almost Christmas this morning. So I can only assume, based on past years, that the tickets will be going on sale this Friday, 10 at noon. Is that correct? I don't know. Get back to me. Thanks.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Tickets on sale Friday, 10 at noon. Friday, 10 at noon? Why would I say that?
Nope.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's not, it's not 10 at all. It has nothing to do with 10. It's today at noon.
Oh, okay.
Today at noon, sure. 12. Straight up 12 o'clock noon.
12 noon.
Yesterday or Tuesday?
Today, 12 noon. Tickets for both nights at the K-Rock Almost Christmas.
The number's call three, now.
Nope. The number's 323-520-AFRO to call the Afro line 24 hours a day.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Kevin, what have you learned about people all these years you've been working on the show?
People are dumb.
Dumb.
This one comes out of Texas. A woman, 30 years old, was disguised during a robbery. On November 2nd, a Texas woman wearing an oversized dog head from one Halloween costume and wings from another robbed a Houston convenience store before leading cops on a car chase.
Oh, wow.
It's genius because they'll never find her in that outfit.
Well, that's what you would think, sure, Bean. According to investigators, Colleen Dickens, the 30-year-old mother of two, robbed a Stripes store of... The total haul was cigarettes and $10 in cash.
Oh, man.
She then fled the scene in a car, but it didn't take the cops long to find her because she didn't take the costume dog head off.
Oh, she was driving with it?
Yeah, so they're just, I'm guessing that's her right there wearing the dog head.
Oh, she's got to be better.
After a short chase, Dickens emerged from her car still wearing the dog's head.
Wow.
She's committed.
She's committed, right?
Yeah, she is.
What if she's just ugly? There was no dog's head.
People are ugly. That's just sad.
It is sad. This one comes out of...
Usually the dogs just chase the car. They don't drive the car.
Why would she leave that on the whole time?
Idiot.
She's not making great choices.
This story comes out of Washington. A judge removed his robe.
Oh.
And ran after two handcuffed inmates who made a run for it in a Washington state courtroom.
That doesn't sound like the judge's job. Isn't there a bailiff for that?
There's video of this. The guy's name is Judge K.D. Buzzard. And apparently 20-year-old Tanner Jacobson and 28-year-old Cody Howard literally were standing in front of the judge and just immediately turned and just made a run for it.
Handcuffed.
Yes.
Where do they think they're going to go?
I don't know. But Judge threw off the robe and ran after him and caught one of the guys before he got out of the building.
Impressive.
You do not want to be caught by the judge.
No, not Judge Buzzard.
Right? Both were charged with second degree escape. This one is napping American Airlines baggage handler trapped in cargo hold. On flight to Chicago, an American Airlines baggage handler fell asleep on the job and ended up flying from Kansas City to Chicago in the belly of a Boeing 737.
Oh, God.
The employee who works at Kansas City International Airport was working on the ramp for an American Flight 363 on Saturday when he apparently took a nap inside the cargo hold before the flight.
I respect it.
Nobody noticed that he was missing, and the plane took off at 5:52 a.m. local time. And the worker was still in the forward cargo hold, and they landed in Chicago before he woke up.
Whoa.
You know, I don't know very much about the belly of a plane, but that's not heated, right?
I don't believe so.
Isn't it like, you're 40,000 feet in the air. It's super cold in there where your luggage is.
He was pretty warm, though, because the Chicago Police Department questioned him, and he said that he was way drunk.
Okay, all right.
Oh,
super drunk, hungover, drunk, and just passed out.
He was stunned.
He had no idea. He wakes up, he gets off the plane. He's in Chicago.
Oh,
wow. You don't expect that when you take a little nap at work.
No. Does not seem ideal.
This one comes out of Georgia. Authorities say a 34-year-old man accused of robbing a Subway restaurant earlier this month was captured in Tennessee. He was robbing restaurants in a couple of different states. The police department said the suspect, later identified as Zachary Miller, walked into a restaurant around 10:15 a.m. They said he ordered a sandwich, and he stood there and watched her make the sandwich. Mm-hmm. Then he jumped the counter and said, "Give me the money," after he had his sandwich made.
Huh.
Wearing a baseball cap.
Okay.
So takes the money, approximately $100, and runs out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
About 30 to 45 seconds later, he comes back in without the baseball hat to get his sandwich.
Oh, baby.
At which point they identified him.
Oh, honey.
Because he forgot the sandwich.
Oh, dear.
You go to a different Subway at that point, right?
And finally, the worst criminals in one part of this world.
Six would-be robbers walked into an e-cigarette shop in the Belgian suburb of Charleroi in broad daylight, ready to make away with whatever was in the register. But according to BBC News, the quick-thinking clerk told the ne'er-do-wells to come back later, saying that if they did, he would have 2,000 to 3,000 euros waiting for them.
Oh, no.
He told them to come back.
And they I love that they called them ne'er-do-wells, too, by the way.
So.
And they actually believed him. The surprised clerk immediately called the police, who were sure the group wouldn't return. But they did. An hour before closing, one of the robbers came back, and the clerk,
I just want you to understand,
yet again suggested they return at closing time instead.
So the clerk says, look, I know I told you to come back last hour, mm-hmm. but I'm going to have a lot more money at closing time.
Sure. Yeah, cash is just pouring in here. If you just wait a couple hours, man, it's going to be a take.
She called the police, and the police were like, he's not going to come back.
There's no
way. They're not going to come back. That's ridiculous. She got him to come back two different times.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And when they came back for the third and final time, the cops were waiting for them. Five men were arrested, and according to the clerk, quote, they're being called the worst robbers in Belgium.
Come on. At least you got a title out of it.
It's crazy.
The worst robbers in Belgium. And that's
dumb.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
The internet's a good thing, you guys, in general, I think, right?
Can be, sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what we'd do without it. It's certainly become an important part of our lives. Dave spends about 80% of his time here at work just trolling, just watching videos. I know that.
A lot of cats.
Not trying to get the internet roundup, though. Just watching cats and dogs.
Just watching videos. Yeah. But he does select a few, the best viral videos of the week we present for you in one tiny package about this time every week. It's called the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah!
Watch me, baby.
Internet roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet roundup. Check it out, y'all.
Internet roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug life.
Well, there's certainly nothing more thug life than the internet roundup. My favorite video maybe of the whole year is Shannon, your pizzas.
I don't understand why you love this so much. I like it a lot.
I've never seen.
It's not my favorite of the year.
I've never seen Bean so happy about a video. He's been, since he said to me, Shannon, your pizza's here. I was like, I haven't watched the video. Shannon, your pizza's
right,
here.
Right, he won't
a
stop.
A text message. Shannon, your pizza's here. I was like, I better watch it.
Anymore. So Shannon orders a pizza, and she's got a little doorbell camera, and she leaves a note on her front porch that says, hey, when you get here, just yell and let me know that my pizza's here, because she's off someplace in the house. So you see the delivery man walking up the sidewalk. He sees the note, and he follows through.
Shannon! Your pizza is here!
What's not to love?
It's awesome.
I love it now.
I love it too.
I love it so much.
I do love that everyone in the house was laughing hysterically. They have video from in the house hearing it, and it's awesome. Quality.
That's a great pizza man, by the way.
Love that.
Agreed. I hope he got well tipped. John C. Reilly, who is a great guy, a great American, and a wonderful, wonderful actor, is doing the rounds on a couple of new movies. He's in Wreck-It Ralph, of course. He's got that new Sherlock Holmes movie with Will Ferrell coming out. So he's on the press tour. We got to get John C. Reilly in here.
Agreed.
Yeah. He's the best. So he's on with Sway in the Morning on Sirius. And as they are wont to do on that program, they ask him if he can rap. And John C. Reilly, who you know can sing from movies like Chicago and stuff, you'd be surprised he's got a little Sugar Hill Gang in him, too.
people here at this party. Now all young ladies, just shake your bodies. All young men, enemy or friend. Well, if you heard me once, brother, I'm back again. Yeah, I'm on the scene and I wasn't sent. And I'm not alone, I'm with the president. This a president's hip and oh so funky. I'll make you move like a disco monkey. You'll shiver, shake, and your back might break. But do it anyhow, see what you can take. So keep freaking while I'm a-speaking. Dance, young ladies, till your knees start to weaken. Cause I got the style and class to go with. I'm numero uno, and don't you forget it. I can dance all night just to keep in step. And if enough people watch, you might gain a rep. So do it. Said do it. Said do it. Do it. Do it.
Had that off the top of his head.
Oh,
you guys.
No way. No way is
you
that freestyle.
So?
No,
I don't think so either.
That was totally prepared.
I think
but
he
well done
that
just
to say.
Oh, yeah, great rap.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was fun. Allie, were you singing along?
Listen, I love him so much, and the fact that he roller skates just made me love him even more. The man roller skates. We talked about roller skating when he was on.
Yeah. Speaking of rapping, I know I say this every time we feature one of this young man's videos in the Internet Roundup. I don't know why Mac Lethal is not a huge rap star. He is great. Here's a video that he put together called Stop Waking Up at 4:30 a.m. is Stupid is what it's called. He says, hey, stop bragging about how early you wake up. Nobody cares. Go F yourself. Not only is he right, but he turned it into an awesome rap.
This is dedicated to the people that need sleep because they don't want to be a motherfucking zombie. Would somebody tell Marky Mark that I don't care that the sky's still darky dark when he jumps out of bed? You have $200 million. You're fucking the head. If I had that kind of money, I would figure out a way to sleep for 6 months straight. And I'd still probably be tired when I woke up and I'd still probably get up late. But bro, while you're asleep, I'm up working hard. But just because you're up working early doesn't mean that you're working smart. See, you wake up at 4, so you probably go to bed at 8. But while you're asleep, I'm awake because I'm up working late, so f*** you. Front, back, side to side, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock, 4 or 5. Anybody does, they f*** in their head, so everybody go back to bed. We gonna sleep in, gonna sleep in, gonna sleep in,
gonna sleep in.
There are a lot of people who like to brag about how early they get up. That's for sure.
Not us.
And 4:30 a.m. is a stupid time to be up.
It is.
Amen.
All right. We heard John C. Reilly rapping. We heard Mac Lethal rapping. Kevin, this one's for you. It's not rapping so much as it is singing.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld a scary sight.
What's happening?
And finally, Allie, your favorite video of the week is...
I love this, too, because this is Allie.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you have a friend at work, too, who the minute Halloween is over, man, November 1st is in full-scale Christmas mode. The cookies, the eggnog, the sweaters, the whole deal. This is a very funny video from College Humor. Is that what the site? That's the site,
yes,
right, Dave?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true.
Please check this out.
I thought that I liked Christmas, but if this is what liking Christmas looks like, then maybe I don't like Christmas.
You guys sound like a bunch of Ebony Scrooges right now.
Don't you mean Ebenezer Scrooge?
No, I mean Ebony Scrooge from 2000's A Diva Christmas Carol with Vanessa Williams.
Oh my God, why are you so obsessed with Christmas?
You really want to know? The worst thing that ever happened to me happened at Christmas. It was horrible. It was Christmas Eve. I was 9 years old.
Wait, isn't that the monologue from Gremlins?
Yes, it is. Yes, somebody likes Christmas. But seriously, I was always afraid of our basement. It's dark down there. There's weird stuff.
Okay, that's just Home Alone.
Ah, you caught me.
This is crazy.
Guys, come on. You have to get involved. You got to take a chance. You got to do something. That's where I'm Scrooged.
I love her.
I
want to be friends with her. You should see that video and all the rest at krock.com or kevinandbean.com right now. It's a Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Do I see that our friend Russ Leatherman is on the phone?
You mm-hmm. do.
The movie man, 6secondreviews.com?
Yep.
What the hell do you think he wants?
I'm guessing we'll talk movies.
Hey, Russ.
What's up, lesbian?
We may be hearing more from Russ as we get to the end of the year when every single weekend seems to be packed with high-profile, big-budget movies. This weekend is no exception. How does this work with you, Russ? You see like four or five movies a week?
You know, sometimes I see three, sometimes I see two, sometimes I see 10 minutes of one and 20 minutes of another.
Okay. All right.
It all really depends. But we are at the time of year where some of these movies are so good, I tend to stay to the end.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right. That's quite an endorsement. Why don't we start with Overlord, which is a movie that I've been curious about because it looks like a big budget movie with a great plot line, but has no stars to speak of. And I'm wondering how that's going to work for them at the box office.
Well, it's an interesting movie. It's a World War II action horror flick from producer J.J. Abrams. So that's cool. You have some American paratroopers drop into this small French village on D-Day, or the day before D-Day, that's been invaded by Nazis, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a surprise, too. Here's a clip.
Welcome to France.
What happened here? Some questions don't have good answers.
There's a lot of soldiers out there, and there's only four of us.
Find out what's inside that compound. What's not in that wall?
What do you do with those people?
They have been given a purpose.
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
This took a turn. Yes, yes.
This took a turn.
Oh, yes.
Things took a turn. But before we talk too much about it, here's your six-second review.
The Movie Man six-second review starts now.
Overlord is a kick-ass and glorious bastards with zombies, and who doesn't like zombies and Nazi killing? I'm in.
Wow.
That does sound great. That's what they should have put in the slug line of the movie. I wouldn't have been so confused.
Who does not enjoy zombies and some Nazi killing?
Agreed.
And I have to tell you, I was thinking of Kevin. I really was.
Were you?
Because I feel like this is right up your alley.
It really now, just should say, Kevin, see this.
That's it. That's all you need. Kevin, see this. Now, Wyatt Russell stars in this movie. Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son. Who's really kind of killing it out there right now. I don't know if you guys watch Lodge 49, AMC show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So good, right?
Yep.
And he's so good in it, and he's good in this movie. And the thing I love about the movie is it's a real movie, real action, looks great, but has these crazy B-movie elements and zombies and Nazi killing. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
Okay, that sounds like a real recommendation. All right, we move on now. The holidays are here, and with it, the holiday movies. Some people, you might call them Grinches, would say, do we really need another version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas? But we have one. What's this all about, Russ?
Well, it's about the Grinch, Bean. Thanks for asking.
But what's the story about?
It's the same story,
same
Bean.
Same story, okay.
This is the same story. We remember the TV special. We remember that Jim Carrey debacle, mm-hmm. right? It's really the Grinch is back to steal Christmas once again. Here's a clip.
Small child, December 20th, rapidly searching for a really important lost letter. Might it be your list of demands to Santa?
They're not demands. It's more like a wish. And what I'm wishing for is really, really important.
Well, then why send a letter? I mean, if it's really that important, you should just ask him face to face. Oh, but that's right. No one's ever seen him. My bad.
Oh, my
Grinch is a dick.
Makes you want to run out and see it, doesn't it? Or maybe not. But here's why I think you should. The voices, Benedict Cumberbatch, Rashida Jones, Pharrell Williams. There's nothing new or particularly memorable about this CGI Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing really wrong with it either. Right, and it looks fantastic. It's kind of the same story, but it's well done. You need something to do with the kids. It's a no harm, no foul as far as movies go.
All right,
I mean, yeah, it's going to cost you $200 to take the family, but I went to an AMC theater not to bitch and moan, but I had to pay like the regulars out
wow.
there,
ew.
like the plebes,
gross. Right?
$22 a ticket.
Yeah,
that seems
high.
It's funny, right?
Is it possible they recognized you and said, jack it up?
That'll be $46 for you. Yeah, it's true. I thought it was insane, but you take a family, you take a couple kids, it's at least a $100 adventure. With that said, The Grinch, well enough done. Go check it out. I liked it.
All right. All right. And now the movie I am most curious about because I loved the other films in this series, The Girl in the Spider's Web, a new dragon tattoo story. For folks who aren't familiar with it, what's the background on this?
Well, she's kind of a computer hacker vigilante, right? She and a journalist in this movie find themselves, of course, caught in a web of spies, cyber criminals, corrupt government official. She's trying to hunt down a stolen computer program that controls the world's nuclear arsenal. Here's a clip.
I'm a fan of yours. The CEO who beat up two prostitutes, but then got acquitted in court yesterday.
Get me down!
I'm transferring 20% of your cash to these two girls.
I'm calling down to security.
The rest, I'm transferring to your wife. Take your child and leave. He won't hurt you again.
I love her.
All right.
A lot of accents in this one.
You love Claire Foy.
I love her. And the fact that Elizabeth is all about hurting men that hurt women. She
so fun.
Gets them. So fun. Yes. Relatable.
Let me tell you what I liked and what I didn't like about this movie. You probably remember Rooney Mara from the last movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who was the movie very punkish, very sort of, I think this is what Ali is sort of thinking about here. It just seems like they slapped a tattoo on Claire Foy. Right? Like she's a girl with a tattoo doing
she's
some
not
stuff.
Badass enough, though, you're saying.
I'm saying that the movie is very by the numbers. It's a mostly unsuccessful attempt at a reboot, I think. And frankly, Claire Foy seems trapped in a miscast web of mediocrity. And well, this tattoo needs a cover-up.
But she's on a motorcycle on ice and things are happening.
Wait, did you get that? This tattoo needs a cover-up?
Yeah, we got it. We got it. And we did you a favor by not hanging up on you, Russ.
I'm going to manage scarcity myself right out of here again. Here's the thing with the movie. If it's not nearly as exciting as the last one was, I don't think. These plots are kind of convoluted, and I'm a simple man. But if I'm going to pay $22 for a movie ticket to see either this or Overlord, because I'm not going to see both of them this weekend, I'm definitely going to see Overlord. It's way more fun.
A little more bang for your buck. By the way, it's no fault of Claire Foy's, but David Fincher not being the director doesn't make a movie better either.
It doesn't help. It definitely doesn't help. And I think it's going to get hurt at the box office this weekend. What do you guys think? Let's play a little box office bingo.
Okay.
Oh, fun.
So fun. Yeah. What do you think is going to be the number one movie at the box office this weekend?
Grinch.
I would say Grinch. New movies, I would say Grinch, yeah.
Sure. How much is it going to make?
Grinch is going to make $32
million. Guys?
I'll say 45.
I'm going to say 55.
Kevin, I think you're on it right on the money.
Wow. Whoa. No one's ever said that before. Thank you.
Now, I know we need to go, but what's going to be number two? Let's just continue.
I don't care.
You do, because it's Bohemian Rhapsody, which is all teeth and bad wigs.
Okay. There you go. There's your 6 second review. www.6secondreviews.com on Twitter at the number 6 second reviews. Our friend Russ Leatherman is the movie man. Happy holidays to you. Great to chat again, sir.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
Thanks, Russ.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Allie's here with What's Happening.
Well, at this time of What's Happening on Fridays, during the 7 o'clock hour, we like to showcase our That's My Jam picks. What it is a playlist that we all add to every single week. Every member of the Kevin and Bean Show picks a song that either is new that we want people to listen to, maybe an older song that came across our playlists at home and we were like, oh, remember this? This was great. So we each pick a song every week and then we add it to the playlist. Just follow along at Kevin and Bean on Instagram stories, on Facebook, on Twitter, and we will link you to the playlist. Just press follow and you're going to have new music. Kevin, you're up first with your pick.
I don't know if you guys remember Steve Aoki remixed Blink-182, Bored to Death.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge song for him. Well, he just came out with a new album today, Steve Aoki, Neon Future 3. And he does songs with BTS, with Mike Posner, with Jimmy Eat World, and with Blink-182.
Wow.
And Blink-182's song is amazing. It's Steve Aoki and Blink-182. It came out today, and it's called Why Are We So Broken?
Falls down and you run from the dust as it covers your life. It's never enough for the sky. The crashing
I would not have guessed that was Blink 182. I'll tell you that.
I love it.
I love
They're very Aoki'd.
Yes, they are.
Aoki-fied. I like it. Bean, you are up next.
You can dance to my pick this week as well. I love the band LCD Sound System. If you've never seen the documentary they did about their farewell tour a few years ago that ended at Madison Square Garden called Shut Up and Play the Hits, you should watch it. It's one of the best music movies ever. And they didn't stay retired. They are back. And they got a cover song just released this week on Spotify of the old Heaven 17 song that we used to play on K-Rock a lot called We Don't Need No Fastest Groove Thing. Mm. And I suspect there's a reason why they decided to cover that song now at this point in American history. It does seem a little bit appropriate, but they do a wonderful job. Here's an LCD Sound System.
I would not know that was them.
I wouldn't either. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it. Well, Jensen isn't here, but of course we have his pick. It is Swizz Beatz featuring Jim Jones' Preach.
I pack girls with shoulder stocks with the muffler attached. We take trips to different places with the butler attached. I play back the Maybach, press a button, relax. Preach. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Preach. Oh my gosh.
It's funny, though, a guy named Jim Jones doing a song called Preach, right? I thought he died. It's a
different
it's a
one.
Throwback
it's
to
a Jonestown reference.
Yeah. To a cult leader of the 70s, you guys.
Yeah.
That's what I just did.
Very tight mention.
That's a good pull.
You're welcome. Hey, do you guys remember in 2016 a viral video coming out of this man singing in the subway station? He was singing Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers.
Yes.
His voice was, it was sent from heaven. This man's voice was incredible. It became a huge viral hit. James Corden wound up having him on, and then he went on to, I think he got to the quarterfinals of America's Got Talent. He wound up just putting out an album this year. It's called I Will Never Give Up. His name is Mike Young, and he's now on a tour. He just sang at the Kings game last week. He did the national anthem. But here's the thing about this song. Martin Garrix, you know him, the Dutch DJ, yes. Also a record producer. He was just like us, watching this man sing in the subway, getting goosebumps, thinking this man is incredible. So he reached out to Mike Young and said, I want to work with you. I want to do a song. So they have just put out the song Dreamer, and it's basically this ballad about never giving up and doing everything you can to live your best life. And it is beautiful, and it is wonderful. And here is Martin Garrix with Mike Young doing Dreamer.
Zero for effort. Zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, that's a great song.
You
could almost hear him among all the production.
Okay, I hate all of you right now.
I just said it's a great song. I was kidding. It's a great song.
Honestly, the man is telling you not to give up on your dreams. There's nothing left, and then you just have to remember there's always going to be something to believe in.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
Wow. Well, maybe Steve Aoki can remix it, and you'll be like, man, this is brilliant. I hate all of you. I hate all of you. If you want to follow our That's My Jam playlist, like I said, it's at Kevin and Bean on Instagram stories, Facebook, as well as Twitter. Just smash that follow button, and you'll be following us. It'd be pretty cool.
That's how it works.
Smash it. Just killing it, you guys. Some birthdays for you. French Montana, Cisco, Finn Cole, and Lou Ferrigno. And that's what's happening.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Hey, Beer yes. mug is here, and he's standing in front of a microphone.
It's fine. Okay. He was invited. This is on you, then. This is
right,
on you.
But he's one of the mitzvah brothers, so we had to let him in.
All right.
DJ Omar Khan is in studio. Beer mug is in studio as well. Now, I must have missed the original announcement that you guys were teaming up to be the mitzvah brothers.
You were on vacation, yeah.
Yeah. When and how did all this start?
This is over a year ago. I got contacted. You know what happened is about 2 years ago, I did my first mitzvah, and I consulted with Beer Mug, and he kind of gave me, the rundown of what's going to happen at the mitzvah. And this was more of a non-traditional one, mm-hmm. Not really religious, so I felt comfortable doing it. Since then, I've done one other one, and then I got contacted from K-Rock listener Daniel, who wanted us as a team to do...
You and Beer Mug.
Exactly, mm-hmm. to do his daughter's mitzvah. And then that started the Mitzvah Brothers, yep.
And okay. who better qualified and more Jewish than me, right?
Right. Hmm. Well, I mean, these are your people, and you you had a bar mitzvah, so you know what it's all about, right?
Hmm. I did have a bar mitzvah. It wasn't one of those, like, crazy outlandish ones, because my...
Parents hate you?
No, they're middle class. They're not super, super rich. But, yeah, I was bar mitzvahed. I had to read Hebrew from the Torah in a temple, and all my junior high friends came to a really cool party.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Well done, Omar.
Look at you, Omar.
Thank
you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know... I'm one of the reasons I was curious about this conversation is because I don't know anything about bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs. I have no idea what's involved. I mean, I know very little about Jewish ceremony. I know the thing with the wedding where you smash the light bulb and stuff. I know a little bit about that.
Or glass
light bulb.
Yeah,
can be. Yeah, oh, okay. But it was
usually
odd.
Is. Oh. Yeah. What do you even do at a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah? I mean, what things do you have to go through to reach that milestone of 13?
So it's when you turn 13 in the Jewish religion, a boy or a girl, bar meaning son, bat meaning daughter.
By the way, I keep saying bat.
Yeah.
That's why you need mugs. It's hard to admit, but yeah. You need mugs. Uh-huh.
And depending on what time of the, what month of the year, that person, usually it's around their birthday, they're given a certain passage from the Torah that they have to memorize and read in front of a congregation.
Right.
And
but that's not your part, right? You're not going...
No, okay, no. Right,
We're just doing the reception.
Excellent. They can do the Horah song.
Yeah.
And the Alchemy song. Or
No, I believe it's the Aliyah.
Okay. Yeah. And then
the Alchemy's a DJ.
Okay. And then they're going to do a couple of speeches. Yeah. And then we're going to do some games because we're the Mitzvah Brothers. We're super fun.
Now, you guys brought up being the Mitzvah Brothers 13 months ago.
Yeah.
How many gigs have the two of you had together?
None.
Until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Exactly. Right. That'll be our first one.
Yeah. We have two-fold mission here to try to accomplish. One is we want to talk to these guys about what their plans are for the weekend. And two is we want to hear from you about memorable or unusual or disastrous or whatever bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah ceremonies
or
that you have attended.
Way over the top.
Some of these are crazy.
I am fascinated by the wildly extravagant ones. You know, we've all seen the My Sweet 16 show on MTV where they just spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for that milestone. I know that goes on for 13-year-olds, too, if the parents can afford it.
Yeah, the one I'm doing is going to be at some swanky country club. And I was telling them, do you want uplighting? Do you want gobo, effect for the dance floor? Do you want, like, a DJ facade? Mm-hmm. Everything was like, sign us up. It was cool. So, yeah, the kids are going to have a good time. The girl's name is Lily. She's in a band. So they're going to have a stage. She's going to play with the band. And then and then they have, like, two different sound systems set up. So that they're going all out.
Do they need a drummer?
It's gonna be fun.
Oh, poor Lily.
They do not.
So 1-800-520-1067 is our number. We'd like you to call us right now and tell us about the significant stories you have about bar mitzvah, bat mitzvahs. And the other thing that we want to accomplish is I get what DJ Omar Khan does. He's a professional DJ, and the best there is, he'll do his part. I'm not worried about his part as a mitzvah brother. What is Beer Mug doing for entertainment, though?
Dude,
this
hype
is the
man.
Part I don't get.
He's a hype man. Dude, I'm going to bring the skills that I've acquired here at the world-famous K-Rock Lily's bat mitzvah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Step it up for Matt. This is important to her.
All I know is I'm super prepared. I don't know where we going. Where am I going?
Somewhere in Irvine somewhere.
And what time does it start?
Oh. We start, I don't think we need to work those details out now, Mug.
Yeah. No, but so the two last parties that I did, it was about 20 to 30 kids. So I could wrangle those kids, and you know, we do like a dance contest, mm-hmm. hula hoop contest, you know, mummy rap contest. But these, I think there's gonna be like 40, 50 kids.
Did you say mumble rap contest?
Is that what? No.
We got the guy, but I hope so.
So I definitely need you know, help with the games, sure. and keep the children entertained.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of games do you do, Muggs?
Like Red Rover. Sometimes we do what's the one? It's like two walls of people run together.
We picked the wrong guy.
It's musical chairs. Musical chairs aren't playing Red Rover.
We're doing mosh pits.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh. Rethink this, Daniel.
Lily, we're very sorry.
Did you shave off your mustache for this?
I did. The mustache no longer sits on my face.
Because you with that mustache should not be around 13-year-old girls.
That would be terrifying.
I never say sits on my face. Ever again. God.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories of bar mitzvah and bat mitzvahs. What have you seen? And by the way, you can also contribute to, you know, to things, recommendations you have.
Tips, yeah.
Yeah, tips for the guys, mm-hmm. because this is the first one that they're doing together as the mitzvah brothers. Should we take one call real quick before the break, and sure. should we make it Emma in North Hollywood? She's on line one, joining us here on K-Rock.
Shalom, Emma.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi, Emma. What do you know about this? Please help us.
So, my bat mitzvah, you know, I was nervous, but everything was going fine. You know, I get to my Torah portion, and it's split into two parts. You know, you do the prayer, you do the first part, you do the prayer. You do the prayer, you do the second part. And as I'm going through the second part, which is probably the most nerve-wracking because you've just memorized this entire section of Hebrew, I is sort of trying to get my attention and nudging me, going, Emma, Emma, Emma. And I'm like, oh, my God, what? I'm almost to the end. And I realize that I skipped an entire paragraph of my Torah portion
Sweet.
In front of the entire congregation. And my grandma's Israeli, so, like, she speaks Hebrew, so she knew.
She's like, I am not following this story, Emma.
Missed some plot points here. So does that condemn you to hell, or what happens now, Emma?
No, it's just incredibly embarrassing, and obviously, you know, 15 years later, it's still sticking with me.
Sure. But I have to imagine, if ever there's a time they're going to give you leeway, it's when you're a 13-year-old girl. I mean, people understand how tough that is for you to memorize a long passage in a foreign language, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Does that sound like a question?
It did. Studying for
it. Did you have a good reception/party afterwards?
I did.
That's okay. All right.
What was the theme? What was the theme, Emma?
Theme, but I did, as sort of like my mitzvah project, I was giving away my old books to charity, so I sort of made those into the centerpieces.
Oh, that's nice.
Very cool.
Okay. All right, Emma. Well, thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate it so much. 1-800-520-1067. What tips do you have for the mitzvah brothers, and what have you seen that surprised you or entertained you at a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock.
Let's squeeze in one call. Let's make it Diego in Pomona. Good morning, Diego.
Hey, guys. We're trying to create a brand here. We got to name it right, make sure it's recognizable. They got to be called the Bros Mitzvah. Come on.
The Bros Mitzvahs.
I don't hate it.
I do think that works a little better than the Mitzvah Brothers. I got to be honest. All right, what are you guys? You willing to change the name ahead of your first gig this week?
Oh, we'll look into it.
All right. Thank you for the call, Diego. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your calls on bat mitzvahs.
Bat mitzvahs.
A bot or bar mitzvahs. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067.
So this is a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah situation when a young Jewish person turns 13. Mm-hmm. Is it a serious, solemn ceremony?
Yes.
And then
yes.
Just and then you go, like a wedding is.
Yes.
But then the reception is just an all-out, just party.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Kids get all drunk. It's awesome.
I don't think they get drunk.
Oh, there's no?
Nope.
Because of 13. So the mitzvahs I do.
Those mitzvah boys are in studio with us right now, DJ Omar Khan and Beer Mug, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to go to Alex first on line two. From the 626, by the way, This texter says, Beer Mug and Omar have to go all out. Boys to Menorah is what they ought to be.
Oh,
Boys
to Menorah.
That's awesome.
I like it.
Apparently that was on Happy Endings. So you may want to consider that if you're thinking about your name as well.
All right.
Let's see what Alex has got going on.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Hi there.
You actually become a bar bat mitzvah, but you don't have a bar bat mitzvah. It's a technical term.
Okay.
So I grew up in Beverly Hills, which is a very densely Jewish populated community. So I had a big big party. I went to tons of really extravagant parties. my ceremony was a little bit interesting. Normally when the bar bat mitzvah finishes their portion of the Haftorah, which is another special reading that you do, everyone passes out candy and they throw candy at the bar bat mitzvah when they're done reading their portion. But they're like, kids get really kind of mean with it and they smash the candies to make them harder.
That's
and
nice.
Sometimes they hurt people when they throw them at them. So my dad and one of my friend's dads became these sort of like authoritarian figures and went around and like prevented all of the kids from getting candy. And they're these really humble and like meek Jewish, not meek, but they're humble. They're small guys. And they like stopped everyone from having the candy and ruining the ceremony by like throwing these hard candies at us.
Well, that must have been a party afterward though. You guys had to let loose.
Yes. Yeah, so I had a really nice reception at what was the Wyndham Village. I think it has a different name right now.
Okay.
It's on Sunset. And it was really fancy, but it happened to be on the same night as the R&B Music Awards. So a bunch of R&B artists happened to be hanging out in my hotel at the lobby.
All right.
When all of my guests were arriving, and everyone thought that I had hired them to be a part of my bar mitzvah.
Nice.
So my friends came up to me and were asking, like, hey, Alex, did you hire Lauryn Hill to hang out in the lobby? And I was like, yeah, of course I did.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
Well, if there's one thing we know about Jewish people, they love soul music.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, my parents love rap, absolutely.
Thank you for the call, Alex. We appreciate you listening and calling. Speaking of extravagant parties, let's go to line 5. Let's say hi to David. He's in Tahunga up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
What'd you see?
So back, unbelievable thing. So back in the 90s, I used to work banquets at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I got to see just incredibly stupid amounts of money spent on bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one in particular where the family had hired the Laker girls to carry their son into the reception, and he jumped off, and not only did they bring him in, but he had learned part of their routine, and they all did a routine together on the floor as his entrance into the reception.
And then did the Lakers announcer go,
Laker girls.
That is amazing,
That would have been ridiculous.
Yeah, let's not go over the top.
Don't be ridiculous.
We could do
seriously,
that. You carry Lily in.
Yeah. How much of a baller is that kid, though, who comes in with the Laker girls?
Yeah.
You know, I was at a bar mitzvah where the Laker girls showed up. That was at the Dodger Stadium Club.
That's
really? Yeah, in the Dodger Stadium. And they showed up and they handed out signed like 8x12 autographs to every attendee of the bar mitzvah.
8x12s? Wow. That's crazy.
That is a strange size.
Is that even a real size?
No.
Let's go to Shirley in Long Beach. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you.
Good. What can we do for you?
So my daughter's bat mitzvah is coming up in February, and I might need some entertainment.
Wait, hold on.
Have you been listening, Shirley?
After everything that's been said?
Oh, we can hook you up. We got the right mitzvah stuff.
So you're thinking you're interested in Boys to Menorah being at your party?
Yeah, I think I like the mitzvah bros.
Mitzvah bros.
Okay. Whatever you want us to be. That's all good. Whatever.
Go ahead.
Go to djomarkhan.com and then just fill out the little form and then I'll see if I'm available. I'll hook you up.
Cool.
All right. I'll bring the regular horse.
Now hold on. Mugs or no mugs? That's very important.
Yeah.
Beer mug or no beer mug?
No mug. We got to have mugs.
Thank you, Shirley.
We
got to
have everybody.
It would be an honor.
Kevin will be there too.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
That means it's time to keep it 100. Let me hear that theme.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
It did not go unnoticed by me that there were multiple requests this week for Mumble Rapped by Muggos.
I mean, that's a pretty good song.
Which I do wish we were, I do kind of miss it since we debuted it yesterday. Beer Mug's hit is unfortunately not Texter 100, but Sean and others who requested it. Keep on trying maybe another time. Texter number 99 this time around was Urge Overkill, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
From Pulp Fiction, I think, is where it became famous. And Texter 101 was another great song, which I would love to hear sometimes. Stereo MC's Connected. So that's Steve in Long Beach. But neither of them were Texter 100. That honor belongs to Manny Guzman, who joins us on the phone right now. Manny is in Vernon. Hey, Manny, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. Did somebody order Mexican?
Manny, I feel like I recognize your name from online a bunch. Do you frequently interact with the Kevin and Bean Show?
I try to whenever I get a chance.
Okay, well, we
wait. Is this Manny D's Nuts Guzman?
Word.
Yeah.
I don't know what you two have going on.
You
but...
know.
All right, so Manny is a frequent contributor to the program, frequent listener. We appreciate that. So over the last year plus, you've been hearing lots of people pick their songs. I'm sure you put your thinking cap on. How did you come up with your choice today?
This one just came up 2 weeks ago on a Friday. Just. You know, I heard you guys, and then that's the song that popped up into my head. I'm like, let me text it in.
Hmm. Okay, well, you made it this this week. You are texter number 100. Why don't you introduce it for the K-Rock audience?
Hey, everybody. Enjoy Dishwala, Counting Blue Cards.
Tell me all your thoughts on God, because I'm on my way to see her. So tell me.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 14 minutes after 9 o'clock. That is the band right there, requested by our friend Manny from Vernon. The band is called Dishwala, which I did not know until this moment. The band's name comes from a Hindi term for a person providing satellite TV to a neighborhood.
No.
That's what a Dishwala what? Is.
That, no. You.
No, there's no way.
There's no way. You just found that on The Onion. That can't be real.
No. That is on the Dishwala Wikipedia page. That they took the name from an article.
Find it someplace else other than Wikipedia.
The lead guitarist says they took the name out of a Wired magazine article about satellite television. And it's a Hindi term for people who provided in the neighborhood, Dishwala. So now we know that.
I love
Allie, why don't you do what you do and tell us when Counting Blue Cars would have been a big, big song here on the world famous K-Rock?
I remember because I remember thinking to myself, this dude just said, God is a woman. How cool is that? Never really thought about it that way because I wasn't allowed to. God's always a man, right? That's what you're taught. But in 1996...
Yay!
Oh, my God. What?
Is that dead on?
Is it?
It is 1996.
Wow. I was going to say 95.
You were.
Yes. Right after I said 1996 when I
you
really
started
loving
it. You do usually guess
it.
3 or 4 years just to try and get credit for one of them.
Yes, it came out in 1996, and it stayed on the radio forever. It was the most played song on the radio in 1997. So it had a long, long life, and obviously Manny still remembered it, so that was an excellent choice. Thank you for checking in on that. That is Keep It 100.
Keep It 100. The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
Allie's here. Time for our final look at what's happening on a Friday.
As well as Kat Corbett has entered
Studio.
Hi. So you guys, Disney and Lucasfilm, they're now in development on a Rogue One prequel series. It's going to star, of course, Diego Luna. Mm-hmm. It's going to be for their upcoming streaming service. The series is set to go into production next year, and it's going to be the adventures of rebel spy Cassian Andor. And it's during the formative years of the rebellion and just prior to the events of Rogue One, a Star Wars story, where they all die. So
spoiler alert.
So it's right? Just, it's going to tell you their life story that you know how it ends,
Uh-huh.
But let's just get to know them.
Look, you know those people you barely remember from that one movie?
That you barely remember?
We're going to expand deep into their histories.
So there's that, you guys.
And maybe, is there, look, Allie, you love Star Wars more than
absolutely.
Anything. Is there too much Star Wars?
Well, yes, and I think that's why they're scaling back, and you mm-hmm. know they're doing things on this streaming service. They're doing The Mandalorian, which is going to be incredible. I'm looking forward to that. But maybe things that don't really need the story right now.
Okay,
chill out for a bit. Okay.
I mean, I guess they at least did pull back on the Boba movie and on the Jabba movie and on the Lando movie and all the other things they were talking about at one point, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You guys, this story is fascinating to me. Divorces, not fun. No one enjoys them. They don't wind up being great for either couple, really, and especially when you have kids. But Chris Pratt and Anna Faris seem to have it all under control. Their divorce has been finalized, and TMZ has found out some of the details. They signed a contract saying that they must live no more than 5 miles apart from each other until their 6-year-old son, Jack, completes the sixth grade. And if one of them wants to move, they have to give the other party written notice 3 months in advance. And if they want to travel out of the country, it has to be 30 days notice. Out of state jaunts, just reasonable notice. But to have all of this kind of...
They're putting their kid first.
Absolutely.
That's great.
I think that's fantastic. And there were pictures of them on Halloween trick-or-treating with their new boyfriend, their new girlfriend, with the kids. So I feel like they're doing everything right.
Yeah, it's not a nice... No one celebrates that breakup.
Mm-mm. No.
And it's so cool when you can actually come around and be like, all right, look, let's be civil. Let's mm-hmm. be friends.
Absolutely.
Let's get this done.
But neither of you ladies will ever have to worry about getting divorced.
Wow. Huh? Everybody was having a good time.
I just said something nice and then Bean went down the rabbit hole.
Not yet.
Oh, man.
Wow. You can ruin anything.
Thanks, Bean.
I thought that was a positive note.
No. You didn't.
Ray of sunshine you are.
I remember the day we were talking about how Bean will not go to anyone's wedding. He demands to be invited, but he always says no. And then he said, you know what, Allie? I would totally go to your wedding. And I went, oh, my God. Oh, you dick.
Yeah.
You dick.
Well, because that's one invitation I don't have to worry about getting.
We get it.
Okay.
So, John Mayer just did an interview with Billboard. It's their new cover story with John Mayer. And it's very interesting. He talks about, well, his reputation. A lot of us ladies have heard not great things about John Mayer. And he said, listen, I'm 41 years old. I'm finally coming to terms with my age. He said, I probably had a run in my life where I wasn't aware that there was anything I couldn't have. And it made a monster out of me. Wow. And he says he's really changed his ways. He's acknowledged his controversial reputation. And he says he's really changed over the years, although not everyone has really adjusted their opinions of him yet. I love this quote. Some people still say, that guy's a dick. And I go, well, any of that data you're working off of is really old. I mean, I can tell you for sure that I haven't been a dick in many years. That's a really outdated take.
See, the problem is he's so charming. That's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm so happy he did this interview because I think he's right. Not only in his case, a lot of the awful things that people remember about John Mayer, he brought on himself, the Playboy interview and other things that he did. But I mean, this is a guy who really did tore the house down to the studs and started over.
Yeah.
I mean, he moved to freaking Montana for 2 years to get out of the Hollywood scene.
Yeah.
And really, I think has become a better man as a result of it. And I think a lot of people get painted with a brush that they're just that one thing you remember them from years ago. And we don't give people the opportunity to grow and change.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad there was no social media when I was in high school.
Right?
Because I would have been that person.
Absolutely.
We all would have been.
Awful.
By the way, I met John Mayer at Jensen's wedding. Mm-hmm. And just the nicest.
Yeah.
It's like he's not a celebrity. It's like he's one of us.
Yeah.
And well, you don't get that a lot of times from a celebrity.
He wasn't trying to get in your pants, though, Kevin. That's true. So that's a different story.
I don't know. I heard the wedding went.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've talked to Jensen John Mayer because, you know, like he said in this article, you've just heard things over the years with Jennifer Aniston and Katy Perry and, oh, he's such a player. Taylor he's this, Swift. He's that. And his Jensen's response was he's done a lot of growing up and he's truly one of the best guys I know, which is lovely to hear from a friend of his. And Jensen's wife, I just said Jensen's wife. Feels the same way about him. So
no, and I agree. Look, you like learn. I mean, he was at a point where he could get anything.
Absolutely.
Anything.
And did.
And
yeah.
Who would refuse that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bet he misses those days. Or is that not the point?
That is not the point at all.
Okay. He did say in this article, I'm talking about why he's been single basically since splitting up with Katy Perry 4 years ago. He said, I really have to make a direct connection with somebody. I don't think that people are into the idea of, hey, I snagged Mayer. This is the greatest interview ever.
That's awesome.
I enjoy it so very much. Also, what I enjoy, Kat Corbett telling me what cool things I can experience this weekend.
I like your ponytail. It flips when you
get
excited.
Thank you. Oh, my God, so much.
This weekend, Camp Floggenaw is sold out at Dodger Stadium. You get 2 days with Post Malone, Tyler, the Creator, Miss Lauryn Hill if she shows up, ASAP Rocky. It's going to be amazing.
It's huge.
It's sold out, but on Tyler, the Creator's YouTube channel, they'll be streaming the whole thing.
Love
so
it.
You can sit at home in your soft pants, like Allie and I watching the Hallmark channel.
It's true.
And you can watch Camp Floggenaw. Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing.
I like it.
Something I wish I could go to if I were feeling a little better. This is amazing. I didn't even know this stuff still happened. The pro breakdancing freestyle world finals are this weekend.
Love it.
Kevin, are you not competing this year?
No.
Yeah.
I'm just a judge now.
My pop and lock is not on point.
I have to bring my own cardboard?
Can you do the worm, can't you?
Oh, like, I can do that. Watch
what?
This.
What?
I know!
Oh my God.
I know. Nobody could see it because we're on the radio, but trust me, I just broke it.
You must carry your own cardboard with you.
Thank
you. Just throw it down.
Thank you. We used to put cardboard out in our garage and we would put on like Run DMC and my brother and I would be like, what? And we would totally pop and lock.
Yeah.
Spin.
I wish there was video of that.
Oh, my God.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
I urge you to go find video of the freestyle sessions, but it goes at La Boom in Huntington Park on Saturday and Sunday.
Fun.
This looks amazing. And finally, our gal Chip over here has double duty. Is this tonight, Chip?
Tonight.
Wow, you better take a nap because she has two shows with her band, Well Hung Heart. Viper Room, you're on the bill with Dookie, which is the Green Day tribute band, which features members of Goldfinger and the Dickies and No Small Children and more. And then you're going to go across town for a midnight set at the Satellite to play after the Tom Petty tribute band Tom Pretty 3.
Yeah, well, it's a bill of all women artists playing Tom Petty songs, and we're doing the last four songs at midnight.
What? Can you give us a taste of what you're doing?
We are doing Free Fallin', Running Down a Dream,
American Girl.
Not American Girl. It was already taken.
I was going to go.
You Wreck Me and Refugee.
Oh, Refugee's
nice.
Going
away.
Yeah. All right. Do it.
Chip.
Call now.
Well, no.
Nope.
I love it.
Hey, while we're talking about the weekend, can I mention my thing?
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Tomorrow night, Saturday night hockey in Los Angeles.
Yes.
With the LA Kings.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'm going to be on the pregame show, Fox Sports West.
I'm sorry.
You are?
Yes.
Are you wearing pants?
Oh, no, he doesn't
have to. I don't think so.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
I haven't checked. That's at 6:30, and then I'm also
So you're on the pregame show at 6:30, chatting
with Patrick O'Neill. Yeah.
Okay, and then, I mean, they'd never let you in the booth,
and then
anything,
I go up to
they?
The broadcast booth with Alex Faust and Jim Fox, and I help call some hockey.
He's going to do play-by-play
with
the Kings.
Christmas has come early.
You guys, honestly, I have planned Saturday. I have changed them.
I think Alex is still going to do the play-by-play. I'm just there for...
The color commentary.
For, I don't know what for, but I can't wait.
That is so stupid and so unnecessary and so foolish.
Come on, man.
I'm so looking forward to this. And Kevin, who are the Kings playing?
Calgary.
So either way, it's going to be lit. Right? Girl, you're from the North Pole because you slayin'. Right.
What is happening?
Poppin' locked through this. You gotta pop and lock.
Some birthdays for you. Finn Cole, French Montana, Cisco, and a man who probably heard one of the most pressing and beautiful questions of our time, Mr. Lou Ferrigno.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
Start when you were born.
That hurts me to hear that.
Oh, it hurts me because I love it so much.
What? That's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free for all during your drive home today on the world famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning. Tickets go on sale at noon.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You also feel like a bunch of dumbasses.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
Who in this room wants to be president?
Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. I'm Mr. President.
Excuse me. That's enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, those of you at home and in attendance, I would like to extend my deepest apologies for what has devolved into a an embarrassment. Well, hopefully the end is near.
This is awful!
I agree. We are all in agreement. This is absolutely terrible. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Bong, bong.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.